You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks again to Mark Martin. Last week's segment, but you know what? In case you missed it from the first hour of last week's show, then you get to hear it in the second hour because a lot of people don't get to hear second hour of the show. So we'll just keep this rolling and keep moving forward. I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. A fine job done by all there. And don't forget their Wednesday night auctions. Earlier in the show, in segment one, hour one of the show, we were speaking with our good friend Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin', talking about walleye fishing in the Detroit River. Had brought up that the first time I had ever witnessed somebody handlining for walleye or in general was on the Detroit River. And he said, well, you know, it's a good thing you'll be talking to Mark Sack today because Mark knows a lot about handlining. He joins us right now. Outdoor writer and good friend, Mark Sack. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. If your ears were not burning on the road, we were talking about you in the first segment of the show. Lance Valentine had brought up, you know, a little bit about handlining, and that's something that's, to me, kind of a lost art.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually, you know, really one of the first methods of fishing walleye on the Detroit and St. Clair River. And actually, I learned on the St. Clair River up by Port Huron, and there is an absolute huge following of guys that have fished that for 50 years over there. I mean, it's amazing. And there was a lot of handmade plugs. There's a lot of plugs that were developed just for that fishery. And it is this now. It is finesse fishing. How about that?
It sounds like it because I saw a father-daughter combination. She was leaning over the side of the boat, kind of, you know, running the line with her hand. I'm like, what is she doing? You know, I'm from landlocked Lansing, okay? I'm not used to seeing fishing like that. And I'm glad that we have you here to give us, you know, especially to those who have never seen it or done it, a little more insight to it.
Yeah, I'll describe it for you a little bit and then tell you a couple quick stories if I can about it.
Absolutely.
Handlining is for high current situations, although you can certainly use it in low current. You are fishing with a small cable, wire, and it is on a self-retrieving reel. It's got a spring in it so that you can, it's just like an electric cord on those new reels they got today in your garage or your shop light where you could pull out and it automatically retracts. Well, a handline reel is the same way. It automatically retracts that wire. And what you do, it has a notch on the end of that cable that you hook a shank. And a shank is a big leader. It's 4 foot long, and it has four different screws on it that you can actually quickly attach and unattached leaders. And typically, you're going to run a 15, you know, any pound test you want, but it's a little bit heavier usually because you're often fishing plugs that are a little bit heavier. So, you know, 15 to 20 pound mono, it used to be. Now, of course, now we're using fluorocarbon, but we always used mono in the past. And we would vary the lengths, and the top leaders had longer leads on them. And believe it or not, you have a shorter lead on the bottom. And I'm talking a 20-foot lead on the bottom and a 40-foot lead on the top. Both of those baits are fishing in the exact same spot right along the bottom. They
wow.
are the one is just stretched. The one is just stretched back further. And what happens is that you slowly navigate the river, and many times you're just idling across the river or, you know, slowly trolling across the river, and you're chugging with your hand. You actually move your forearm back and forth, and you've got your hand on that cable. That's where hand lining comes in. And, you know, nowadays we've got baseball gloves we're wearing for the wire and all that stuff, you know, and you're actually just feeling your way. You can, okay, and on the bottom of the shank, there is a 1 to 2 pound weight, depending on your current. So that's what takes you down. And so when you're letting those leads out, you know, obviously many times in the newer ages here, we're using floating Rapalas, number nines, number 11s. They'll go back immediately in that current. They're just swept right away, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as that weight takes hold and you start guiding it down and you touch that bottom, boom, your baits are right on the bottom right now, and they're right in the strike zone. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. And you know, you can go upriver and downriver, but most times you're just traversing current into holes that you're pretty aware of, that you know they're there, and you're checking this hole or you're checking this break over here, you know, and you're going out. You can go up the break by pulling in. You can go down the break and drop back a little bit, you know, and it's really cool when you hook a 10-pounder, I can tell you.
Man, that, you know, that it's whole amazing. Thing, that, I mean, just hearing what's involved, I'm like, I'm just kind of blown away because, I mean, that's a lot of, it seems like a lot of equipment out there and to finesse with your hand. It really kind of blows me away that people are still taking that kind of time.
Yeah, we actually even evolved it even further and had rod holders specifically made for handline reels. And I had mine up in the front of my yard craft, and I actually worked my handline right from the helm, and I used my steering wheel, and I had my motors hooked together. And my partner is handlining from the back port side. He's right on the trolling motor, so he's controlling my speed. I've got the motors kicked together. I just tell him, kick it up a notch. He kick it up, and we're traversing, man. We're, you know, and with all these long leads, you got to have a way to store them, right? So I developed this little Velcro wood piece. It was a, you know, it's a separate reel, but it just sticks right on the side of your boat, so you could just reel it in and just wheel it right around the Velcro that's stuck on that piece, you know, on that wood that's stuck on the side of the boat, and you're out of the water. And we can run up, and we can fish another hole, and we can fish another hole. And I'm going to tell you what, I almost won an FLW in Detroit River doing that.
Are you kidding me? They had to be looking at you like, what?
I got news for you. I have a picture of Gary Roach handlining.
Wow.
And he is Gary Roach. Is the all-time greatest jig, you know, he's so known for jigging in Minnesota that it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I got a picture on, I come up, I'm fishing the MWT down there in like 98 and come around the corner of Gibraltar there. And there's Gary right out in the Trenton Channel and he's handlining. And I said, holy cow, I got to get a picture of that. You should see the frown on his face in that picture because he didn't want me taking his picture. But here's the deal, too. Sometimes you really have to be able to handline because in that FLW event, it was muddy as heck. Mm-hmm. And so the mud's coming down the river like crazy, and the jig guys weren't getting anything. And so I threw on orange and gold floating Rapalas. And I caught 4 fish on the first day and was in second place in that FLW because sometimes that's the only way you can catch them.
Mark Sack is joining us here on Wild Michigan talking about handlining. Mark, you know, and I'm so glad that that came up in conversation with Lance because I don't think I ever would have got that visual of Gary Roach getting caught handlining during a tournament. Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
That's fantastic.
I can just say it wasn't during a tournament because he went back to jig it. And Gary always jigged out of the transom. He always worked the gas motor, the tiller, mm-hmm. and jigged out the back, just so you know. So during the tournament, we go running through there, and Gary's back jigging again. But he was trying it in pre-fish because he knew how important it was.
Sure.
And I guarantee you Lance has got a set somewhere, too. I guarantee you Lance has got a set.
That's funny. Yeah, and again, this conversation probably wouldn't have happened had it not been for Lance mentioning that. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to check in with that. I mean, this is the fishing show for spring 2021. Why not talk about handlining? But we got more Absolutely. We're going to talk about with you here. Just a couple of seconds. Mark Sack is our guest here. He's an outdoor writer and guide and all-around good guy, man, joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.
We'll be right back.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to be here, having a fun show today. Absolutely great time with Lance Valentine, David A. Rose, a revisit with Mark Martin from last week. Also, Mark Sack, outdoor writer and angler and guide and all-around good guy. All of those guys are friends, and I'm very proud to call them friends as well. And very happy to have them on, man, because it's an education. Every time I get a guest on, it's an education for me. Hopefully it's at least fun and a bit of an education for you. Now, Mark, the Facebook page is called Michigan Sport Anglers Opposed to Commercial Take of Sport Fish. It's a very big, long Facebook page name with very good intentions behind it. As anglers, as sportsmen and women of Michigan, putting so much money into this economy, we are watching commercial anglers take and take and take with what I'm seeing, not seeing their fair share being paid.
Yeah, not even close.
And
it hasn't been close for a very long time.
Now, this group, I mean, explain what's going on with this right now, because I've been on this page and I've been watching, you know, carefully, kind of like a, you know, cat through a window. But I really want to get, you know, more people aware of this.
Yeah, there is actually a page out there that probably, I think there's about 600 folks on it right now, but they're all adding information about what they're hearing, what they're seeing. And we're really, you know, trying to at least stay up with what's happening, especially when it comes to Senate bills that are coming out. The latest Senate bill that a group of the same senators put out is basically going to take all the power away from the DNR from monitoring the commercial industry. Now, how can you do that? How can you honestly do that? If they want to do that, then there goes the whole fishery, right? Because how are you going to monitor anything? So there's some outrageous things that are happening that I'm sure that everybody thinks that there'll be a compromise somewhere. But you know what? The bottom line is, do we want our fish sold to New York and Chicago, our game fish that our anglers and all of our folks who have been in Dunham's buying sporting goods, you know, have helped pay for? We're going to give them to a company so that they can sell them and make money off the fish that we actually, you know, put in the body of water. So it is. It's a really tough deal. You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, they're trying to make a living too, but the way that they're trying to do it is it's too much. It's wrong. And you've got to, you know, you have to expand your businesses just like other businesses have had to be flexible over the years. It's not like, well, we've been doing this for 200 years, so we get to do it forever. It's not the same as it was. It's not the same. And by the way, they already wiped the walleye out in the 40s, wiped them out completely.
Mark Sack is joining us here. And Mark, this is one thing I look at, too. When the page was getting some blowback from some of the employees of these fish companies, I'm looking at profiles. These guys, they're not even from here. They're not even, you know, U.S. citizens. They're imported employees. I'm not saying, okay, let me get this out in open right now. I'm not saying they're illegal and don't belong here. I'm just saying they are from other places coming in here to work these fisheries. You know, and they're spouting off, and believe me, some of the language and some of the things they said they're going to do, guess what? If we said them, we'd be arrested.
Yeah, you know what I have on my phone? I've got a page picture of one of those guys saying, you know what? The only good recreational angler is a dead one.
Right. I've seen that post, actually.
I've got the post and a pic that I took off that, you know, and I just, it's like, you know, that's the mentality that some of those guys that have worked in that industry forever do. Now, the owners are, you know, they're Michiganders. They're, you know, they've been citizens. Their families have been here forever. I understand that completely. But you have to diversify, and you have to do other things besides just radar, you know, 30% of the total allowable catch in Saginaw Bay, which is their, which is what they're trying to do. Because what that does is it changes the allotment that fishermen get, and pretty soon you will see creel limits change, and pretty soon you will see anglers, instead of going to Saginaw Bay, they will be going in the other direction, and all the businesses up on the bay will shut down.
Now, speaking with Mark Sack here on Wild Michigan, Mark, the type of netting they're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, is gill netting, which is pretty indiscriminate.
They've got several different types of nets that they use. The gill netting really was, you know, supposed to be used at greater depths and for specific fish, like rough fish that are bigger, and the smaller fish are supposed to be able to go through. But obviously we know there's going to be a bycatch there where you're going to kill some fish. You're going to kill big, you could kill big muskies, you could kill big pike, you can kill, they could take cats. I mean, so, you know, but they're supposed to be targeting, you know, buffalo and all these other fish. But, you know, obviously there is a bycatch there. And to be quite honest, you know, I've always felt that it's probably not for the best of anything to throw dead fish back in the water anyways. If you can harvest them, we should be taking them. But the issue is, need oversight on that to make sure that all of a sudden they're not moving nets in front of the Saginaw River and their bycatch is now 10,000 pounds of walleye.
Absolutely. Mark Sack joining us here. Perch is another hot topic for this group here as well. Saginaw Bay perch is a lot of concern for that.
And, you know, they just started really pushing them hard again. They've got salesmen out there throwing perch at gas stations and bait shops and all over the place. And, you know, the big deal is last year when you saw that nobody could be open, they weren't fishing the perch. And what we saw this fall was and winter was a really nice bounce back of the perch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're blaming it all on the walleye and saying that's why they need to take the walleye. That's not the case. The case was you guys weren't netting. You didn't have nets from one end of the bay to the other. And, by the way, there's an unlimited amount of perch they can take out of there. It's unlimited. So, you know, we're limited as recreational anglers, and we pay for them.
Absolutely.
We pay for them.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I don't begrudge anybody doing a legal business, but you know what? As far as the playing field is concerned, when we're putting billions into the industry and they're licensing just, dude, I can afford the licensing. I'm a radio guy, and I can afford the licensing.
I know. Anybody could. You know, the issue is, you know, stand in line for the license because there's only 13 of them or something. But, and, you know, that's the whole deal is that they're trying not to limit new licenses. Well, the new bills that the Senate has in mind is going to increase that to 60 licenses over the 13 that we're doing right now. Come on, we can't do that. Now, that bill died in committee. It did not make it out of committee. But that's what they wanted to do with it, which, holy mackerel, you're going to increase to 60 companies out on the bay?
Yeah, no, that's...
Wow.
That's... No. Not going to work. So let's turn back to happier times here. What else is going on in your world? We've got a couple minutes left. I mean, the weather's getting beautiful out there. We're starting to get the warm up. The water's warming up, and fish are biting.
Buddy, I caught an 8-pound, 2-ounce largemouth probably 3 weeks ago, and then I think I might have caught it again last weekend. I mean, it was a beautiful fish. She was just as long. She was just all spawned out. She's about a 6-pounder, you know.
Right.
And, I've been doing some bass fishing. I'm actually gearing up to go walleye in here hopefully this weekend. Hopefully going to hit Lake Erie, Michigan waters. And I'm going to pick up a Polaris Ranger UTV right now as we speak. That's why I sound so crappy.
So it's all right. Well, you know, it's all good. The information got through, and that's what's important, man. We appreciate you and everybody else that's been on the show today, the Spring Fishing Show 2021. You know what? Hey, look at that. Restrictions being lifted on mask wearing outdoors. What would we do without our government?
Oh, boy. Well, hey, let's get all of us boys in the same room here sometime, and we'll have an adult beverage, and we'll have a great time.
I'm just going to be the one sitting and laughing and smiling in the corner. not being able to keep up with, but happy to be there.
I can't not imagine that. I don't don't believe it.
Mark Sack, appreciate you joining us here. Thanks to everybody that joined us on the show today. Mark Martin, also David A. Rose, Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing. A great bunch of fish stories and great information today. Find them all on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. The podcast will be there. Thanks so much to Brother Alex Clark, our guy driving the whole show. Thanks also to Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Conquest Sense, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.